Good morning. Got the towels. All ready to go. We have a lot of ground to cover this morning. So that's kind of how I'll start out by saying that. So buckle up and we're going to move through this because I have a lot of things we want to try to accomplish today. But first of all, before we get into the message, there's just some things I want to just say off the top to let you know about a couple things and just acknowledge a couple things. First of all, you know, before I mentioned the fact that Jack and Bill had asked me to express their gratitude to you for praying for them, and they're both in the room right now, and we're excited to have them back because, and especially as quick as they have been, and we really didn't know if that would happen that quickly. So we're just blessed to have them here. But, you know, Jack, I want to tell you that when you were gone, the kids really, they came in the door and they just had this blank look on their face because there was no suckers. And they knew that you're always there for them, and so they really appreciate what you do, and we do as well. So thank you for just loving our kids. And I know you received a lot of cards from those kids, so they love you as well. So thank you. And Bill, we're just blessed to have you here today with us. So we wanted to cover that. Also wanted to let you know that they did start working on this addition, even though you can't see it. This week, during the week, the chairs were all moved out of the way. There was a lift in here. The ceiling tile were gone. And they started putting in some steel braces in this section of the building in order to handle the additional snow load that's going to happen because of the bigger building out here. So they started that. They had to get that done first. And now the next step is they'll start setting the beams and the steel in the front. So there's things happening finally. And we're glad for that. And so we just wanted to share that news with you as well. And also in our narthex area, I don't know how many of you noticed on the wall out there some words on the wall and a scripture and some things. Did you notice it? All right, well, that's better than the newspaper response I got a few weeks back. But anyway, you see up there it says seek, and it says grow, and it says love. And we want to make sure that as we understand as a church that we have a responsibility to seek the lost. That's all of our responsibilities as a church and as individual Christ followers are to seek those who are lost and to share the good news with them. But also to grow the people that are here and the people that we have in this body. We all want to grow spiritually. But, you know, God tells us we have to love everybody. And so that's why the seek, the grow, and the love, and that's just that whole concept out there based upon that scripture, to love one another. And in the front of your bulletin, there's also the statement there, kind of a mission statement with the church. And we just wanted you to, every time you come in here, think about that, because that's important for all of us to know. As we go about our daily work, that we're supposed to be a church that's seeking the lost, and we're supposed to be a church that's growing spiritually, and we should be people who love one another. And so we wanted to share that with you. Also in your bulletin this morning, and I'm going to tell you this now, but I'm going to ask you just to put it back in your bulletin. There's no notes today, so you don't have to take any notes. Just put it back in there and just hold it till the end, because I don't want you to be concentrating on this. But there is going to be something at the very end of the service today that I'm going to, during some music that's going to be playing, I'm going to ask you to just check off some things here and fill this out for us. And when you're done, as you leave, there'll be men at the back with baskets. Just drop those in the basket. We would really appreciate that. So I just want to kind of give you a heads up on that before we even get started. Today's message is called When God Changes a Heart. Last week we finished the series. Pastor Jeff finished it up on Philippians. Today we're talking about servanthood and its changed heart. Next week we're going to recognize and try to encourage our moms. Jean-Claude Pierre is going to be here with us as well. The following 2 weeks after that are going to be what we call in the preaching world standalone sermons. So they're not going to have anything to do with each other necessarily, but they're just going to be two sermons that we're going to be bringing to you to end up the spring. And then starting on June 2nd, Pastor Jeff is going to be coming and talking about Noah. Our summer series this year, remember last year we talked about the parables all throughout the summer? This year we're going to be talking about the heroes of the faith based out of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the Old Testament heroes and that all these men and women that, if you can imagine, when we leave this earth and we stand before Jesus in heaven, these people are going to be up there cheering us on. They're the ones that already have gone before us, and we can't wait to see Noah and Moses and Abraham and all these people. So we're going to be doing that all summer. So the first one is on Noah, and Pastor Jeff will be bringing that to us on June 2nd, and that will go for 14 weeks. So we're excited about that series. We just wanted to kind of hopefully get you excited about that as well. And we'll let you know who we're going to be doing when, so you can maybe do some studying on your own about these heroes of the faith. As we stand in here, or as I stand here this morning looking out in this room, I realize that there are people in all different places as far as their spiritual walk goes. That's every week. We have people here probably today that, or we could have people here this morning that have come because somebody has asked them. They're really not a Christ follower. They may not even be what we call a seeker. They're just here because somebody drug them along and promised them lunch at the end. And that's okay. If that's the case this morning, we're glad you're here. Where else better could you be? So we're happy that you're here with us. But there are those here this morning that are probably saying, you know what? I've heard about this Jesus guy and God, and I've heard this throughout my life, but I'm still not sure about it, but I am interested in finding out some more. We call those seekers. And there are probably some of those folks here with us this morning as well. And then our hope is that for the majority of us here today, that we would be what I would call Christ followers or a Christian. I use that word Christ followers versus Christian because I think it's probably can be backed up biblically better. God is pretty clear in the Bible about what a disciple is or a Christ follower, someone who's chosen to follow Jesus. It's not real clear. They don't use the word Christian in the Bible. So that was kind of, when they did use it, it was a bad thing. It's like those Christians, and they would come after them and persecute them. But it was basically they were people who have said, you know what, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's my Lord and my Savior. I trust in him. I believe that he came and died and rose again, and now I'm here to confess that. And so when people have done that, and what we would say, they are now Christ followers. And so those people are in the room this morning as well. And so we all have a role, all of us. We are all part of this process, this spiritual walk this morning. And I know that we're in different places, but this message today is going to be talking specifically about servanthood and how that fits in as Christ followers' lives go. But before we start, would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you again. I thank you for your words. I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for the privilege of being able to come this morning and just study together and worship together and pray together and be together as a family of God. Open our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord, that these are your words. This is your message. And I just pray that I can do it well enough that they can understand what you want us to know. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're talking about a changed heart. And there's a lot of things that happen when a person has a changed heart. But one of the things that happens, and one thing that comes out of that, is servanthood, is being willing to serve God. And so that's where we're going to kind of go this morning. And we're going to recognize some people that are doing that right here as well as we move on. Pastor Rick shared a definition that he had through the years, and he's used before. It's for servanthood. It says, servanthood implies diligence, faithfulness, loyalty, and humility. Servants don't compete or grandstand or polish their image, or grab the limelight. They know their job, they admit their limitations, and they do what they do quietly and consistently. Servants cannot concern themselves with who gets the credit, but servants together serve Jesus Christ to his glory and to his honor. And I thought that was a great definition of what servanthood is all about. As Christ followers, we are to serve others. Not ourselves. That's what servanthood means. It doesn't mean doing something for myself. It means doing something for you or for someone else. So we need to move in our own life from this whole arena of selfishness and move into this arena of selflessness, of being more concerned about someone else than I am about myself. And that is servanthood. You see, Christ is looking for people with changed hearts, who care and are willing to serve from that heart change. It's not just about filling a spot. You know, when we need a teacher, we need a nursery worker. Okay, I'll do it. It's not about that. It's more than that. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude that you go about as you try to do this. You see, folks, we serve out of our salvation, not for our salvation. That's important that you understand that this morning. Because I don't want you to go from here forward thinking in your mind that what I'm telling you today is that if we work hard and we do enough things, we serve in enough ministries, that's going to get us to heaven. Because that's not what it's about. You see, the only way we get to heaven is through grace, the grace of God. That's it. But because of that grace, because of that accepting Christ as my Savior, I want to serve the because of that. And that's the way we have to think about it. That's the direction that we have to go. When we talk about a changed heart, well, I want to share some scriptures with you this morning. The first one is in Ezekiel. It talks about a changed heart. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see, folks, we are to have a new heart. And when we have a new heart in Christ, we will get a new spirit. When we have a new spirit, we will have new goals, new directions for our life. We will have a new life because of what God has placed in our heart, because of that heart change. Now, there are a number of examples in the Bible, a lot of them, about heart change. But we're just going to look at two this morning for the sake of time. But we're going to look at two famous ones. And we're going to back up. We're going to look at the first one, which is Paul. Now, we've studied Paul over the last year. We've really talked about Paul quite a bit. So I think we probably understand Paul. But let's look at what Scripture says in the book of Acts. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 9 and then verses 17 through 19. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing and murderous threats against the Lord and the disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for the letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I'm not sure where this... Okay. Then it goes on to say, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men that were traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when his eyes opened, he couldn't see anything. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And then it closes out. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered in. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell off Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Well, that's the story of the heart change of Paul. But we know the results that came about after that heart change. I mean, Paul was a great disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. I mean, Paul was very influential in Christianity. He was probably the greatest evangelist ever. And that came about because of heart change. Because he saw Jesus and he experienced Jesus and he changed his heart. The second one I want to look at, passage. I'm not sure where that was at. So let's just read it. Luke 19, 1 through 9. It's Zacchaeus. Remember the story about Zacchaeus? How many of you remember the story from when you were a kid? You probably learned that in Sunday school about Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, 1 through 9, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not. Because of the crowd was too tall and he was too short, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. And then Jesus was coming that way. He knew he was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. See, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Remember, we've talked about tax collectors many times. It's dear to my heart. Because every year in VBS, they make me be the tax collector. But anyway, the chief tax collector, he was the worst of all. See, these were Jewish men who were collecting taxes for the Roman government. And they would go and collect taxes, but not just what the taxes that were due. Then they would add on more in order to put in their pockets. So he was the chief of all those bad guys. So he was really hated. And so when Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house, it was once again, how can you do that? He's a sinner. But Jesus did. And through that came heart change. And after that, Zacchaeus experienced Jesus personally. And he became a different person from there on. So again, there are many examples of this in the Bible. There are many examples of men and women who met Jesus personally and who had changed their life. But now we're going to move into this area of servanthood, because that's where we're kind of headed this morning. And whenever I looked in the Bible and was trying to say, okay, well, who would be the best example of servanthood? Well, I can't find a better example of servanthood than Jesus. Jesus was the best example of all. In the book of John, verses 1 through 5, it says, it was just before the Passover feast that Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You know, in that day, feet washing was done quite often. And it was the ultimate humbling act. Because again, it's not like here where we have sidewalks and paved roads. You're talking desert and sand, maybe sandals if they're lucky. And so even though they may have bathed, their feet were filthy. And Jesus came along with the disciples and said, I'm going to show you what it looks like to be the ultimate servant. I'm going to humble myself. Remember now, this is God. This is Jesus here on earth. The creator of the universe, the creator of all of us. And what does he do? He takes a towel and he puts it around his waist and he kneels down and he washes the feet, the dirty feet of the disciples, because he wanted them to know how important it was for them as they went forward to humble themselves and to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he set the example to do that. This morning, we are blessed here at First Church of God. We're blessed with a lot of people who serve God faithfully all the time. Serving God doesn't have to be 5-6 hours a week or a day a week. It doesn't have to be 2 or 3 hours a month. Serving God in a local church could be 30 minutes a month, could be an hour a month, 5 hours a month, whatever it is that might look like for you. But it's somebody who says, you know what, it's more important for me to do something for others than it is to do it for myself. And we have a great example of that this morning. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out some time of this message, and I would like to just recognize some people right here that are serving, who have said, you know what, I'll take the towel. I'll take the towel, and I'll serve God. I don't know if, Marty, you kind of hit on me. Okay, there he is. I've talked about Marty before. This is my daughter. Last minute, I asked her to help me pass out towels, so anyway. I've talked about Marty before, and I know it embarrasses him, because Marty is an ultimate example of servanthood. He's humble. He's got a great spirit. Marty heads up our elementary education, and he deals with your kids all the time. And he's done that for years and years and years. And so, Marty, we really appreciate the fact that you have accepted the towel to do the work of the Lord. But I would like to ask all those who help Marty, whether it's VBS, whether it's elementary education, teaching assistant, whatever you might do for any area of ministry other than maybe the worship team, but any other area of ministry that Marty's involved in, if you're here this morning, would you stand along with Marty and let us just say thank you to you? And as long as we're talking about our kids, with our toddler ministry and the infant ministry, we have two coordinators that coordinate that. Becky Shreve and Barb Ash, they both do this. They coordinate all of the volunteers. They line it all up. They're volunteers as well. And we just want to say thank you for watching those little babies, for taking the towel and doing that. But also, if any of you are here that go in there and work in those two nurseries, whether it's once a month or a fill-in or a substitute, whatever, if you wouldn't mind standing as we give this towel and thank them for their acts of service, if you would stand with them so that we can acknowledge you this morning, please. Now, we're known as a church that if we feed them, you'll come. Right? But you know what? That doesn't just happen by osmosis. Donna is a great example, again, of a humble servant. She's in the kitchen working. She doesn't get any recognition. She's just stuck in the kitchen along with a lot of other people. And she serves faithfully, whether it's Tuesday nights, Sunday mornings, whether it's funeral dinners, whatever it may be. Most likely, if we're feeding people, Donna's had a hand in it in some way, shape, or form. But there's plenty of other people that help along with her. So if you're here this morning, Donna, thank you so much for accepting the title of being a good servant. But if you're here this morning and you serve with Donna in any capacity, funeral dinners, luncheons, Tuesday night, anything like that, if you help Donna in the kitchen or whatever, would you please stand up too so that we can say thank you to all of you? We see all the time on Sunday morning is we hear the worship team, and they're great. We'll get to them in a minute. But we don't really see the people that work back here in this booth very much. But they do a great job of making sure that we have what we need, microphones and video and tech and all that stuff. So, Jason, I want to just say, and, you know, Jason is one that whether it's a funeral or whether it's a wedding or whatever it may be, that with Jeff and I or Joe, we need help. On Wednesday night, he's back there with Joe. He's always here to help us. He's here through the week fixing different problems and working in the church. You don't see it, but Jason's here doing it because he has accepted the towel to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with all of those who help Jason in any way with the technical stuff, would you please stand this morning so we can appreciate you? Thank you, Jason. As long as we're back in this part of the room, we have a number of guys and girls who also help us with serving communion and passing offering and doing all that. And we just, Scott Krzyzewski, one of our elders, he has accepted the towel to serve the Lord by coordinating this ministry. And Scott, I want to say thank you. But for all of you ushers that do that with him, please stand so that we can just thank all of you for doing that. This is part of my aerobic exercise for the day. You know, our women's ministry does a lot of things. Obviously, working with women, helping them, all ages of women, whether it be in a women's ministry that meets in a Bible study or whether it is with young ladies that they're trying to help in order to encourage them in their walk. And so I just want to say thank you to those who do that. And I don't think Emily's here this morning, but Emily Cooley is one of those. But Becky Wood does this now. Becky is also our administrative assistant. She's the glue that keeps us together. But this isn't what she does for her job. This is when she comes back here at night to serve because she loves the Lord and she wants to be a servant. And Sue, the same thing. And so does Emily. And so I would like to just present this and thank you for you guys for being a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And just say thank you. And we also have some people that help, Becky, and that work in that ministry. But if you're helping with the women's ministry in some sort, would you please stand if you're here this morning? I don't know who that might be, but if you are, thank you very much for doing it. Yeah. You guys watch the puppets every month. Well, that doesn't happen by automatically either. People put a lot of work into that, and Don and Sue Snow have done this for years. They have been giving to this church in a way of trying to bring that ministry to you by using your kids to help with that ministry, to bring a message to you. And so, Don and Sue, I just want to say thank you for accepting this towel to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you help with the puppet ministry, along with Don and Sue, please stand and let us say thank you to you. We just started a new ministry in the church three weeks ago, and that is our senior ministry. And so we have at least one of the couples, I think, that are here, two of the couples this morning, that are helping to head this up, Floyd and Darkus, and Darla and Bob and Darkus, I think, they're Gene and Marv Goat are also there, but they're not here right now. So I just want to say thank you to you guys for starting this ministry, for saying, you know what, we see a need, and we're going to lend a hand and be part of that. So thank you very much. And there's a towel thanking you for your service. Bob, where's... Oh, you're so small, I missed you. There you go, brother. Thank you so much for what you guys do, Darkus. Thank you. This is a pretty big building, and it takes a lot of work to keep it going. And so we have some people that have that work on our building and grounds team, but Dan Evans is the coordinator for that ministry. And I think he's on vacation this week. But the other person that kind of works real close with Dan and is here all the time behind the scenes where you never see him doing what he does, but he is a great help to us. And so I'm not sure where he's sitting right now, but Bob Allison, would you raise your hand? He's hiding in the back. Bob, I want to say thank you for doing this. I know that it's a job in which a lot of people wouldn't want to do, but you do it graciously. And thank you so much, and Dan as well, for what you do around here to help the building stay as good as it is. For all you people who serve on the building and grounds team or help with this building in who knows what kind of ways, would you please stand and along with Bob so that we can say thank you? I know there's a lot of guys that do that, so. Did you guys get back there and see that tree back in the elementary area? The kids can crawl through. Bob Lewis built that tree. Thank you, Bob, for that. Most of the time I know where people sit, so they're probably going to fool me this time. But Jim and Diane, are you here this morning, Senate? Oh, they moved on me. Jim and Diane head up the ministry to help get communion ready every week. They make sure that people are back there to put it together, bring it up here, take it back, get it ready for the next service. So Jim and Diane, thank you so much for accepting that. And all of you who help prepare communion or bake bread, whatever you may do, would you please stand up along with Jim and Diane so we can say thank you to you guys. Now I know you're thinking, well, you forgot me. Well, we're not done yet, but I just wanted to, that's the towels I wanted to hand out, because these are people who serve out of servanthood because they want to. They don't get paid to. None of these folks I've just mentioned get paid to do what they do. They're doing it out of the kindness of their heart because God's changed their heart. But we want to just thank Sue and her worship team for all that they do to prepare for this every Sunday morning, the work they put into that. So Sue, would you stand, and all those who are on the worship team, just please stand so that we can just say thank you to all you guys. Thank you so much. We have over 50 people that serve in our guest services, from information booth to check-in to greeters, all those people who are standing out there giving you a bulletin and shaking your hand when you come in. And this is a ministry that I work with and try to head up with Becky's help, and we just do this together. But it's something that is we've been really trying to grow with and to build with, and we have a lot of people involved. So if you're here this morning and you help in guest services in any way, shape, or form, please stand, and I want to say thank you to you guys. Please stand. this morning and you are part of the teen sponsors, you're a teen sponsor, you help Joe with the youth ministry, would you stand? And Joe, and just we want to say thank you for all the work you guys do. Another ministry that we have is what we call our card ministry that meets on Tuesday morning. How many of you have received a birthday card, anniversary card, get well card, missing you card, encouragement card, whatever? It all comes from that room. And so if you're here this morning and you help with that ministry, please stand. We want to just say thank you. If you're here this morning as an adult teacher, you teach our adults, would you stand? We just want to say thank you for that. I know Bo does, and Chico, and Scott. Thank you. And we just want to say to all of you who are here that maybe I didn't mention your name, first of all, I'm sorry that I missed you, and we'll get to you in just a second, but also want to say thank you to our administrative council members, our elders, who serve as volunteers, who are here to try to help this church go in the direction that God wants it to go. So if you're here and you're part of the administrative council or you're an elder, please stand so we can say thank you to you guys as well. And now, it's exercise for everybody. Everybody that has already stood up and anybody else that serves in any capacity that you, I've missed you. Maybe you serve in the community and I don't know about it because that's just as important. But if you are serving God out of the First Church of God, and you are here this morning, along with everybody I've already mentioned, please, all of you, stand up one more time. I just want to say, and on behalf of Pastor Jeff and myself and Pastor Joe, we want to, and the elders, we just want to tell all of you how much we appreciate you. And I know we don't get a chance to do that very often, and it's hard to take out time on a Sunday morning, teaching time to do that. But you know what? I just felt that it went along with this message today on servanthood. And so we needed to say thank you to all of you folks for putting in the hours that you put in, for putting in the time that you put in. You know, I have two or three more pages left up here, but to be honest with you, this took more time than I thought. But that's okay. So I'm going to just do a call an audible, and we're just going to kind of just bring this to a close this morning. But I want to share something from my heart with you. I want to just tell all of you, besides the fact how much I appreciate what you do, I want to tell you how much joy it brings me to be able to serve. I've worked for probably 45 years. I know I'm getting old. But only 25% of that time I served as in the area of being a full-time pastor. The rest of the time I'm like any other normal parishioner. I come to church. I serve in the ministries. I've been doing that since I was out of high school. I've been serving in churches wherever I was at because I wanted to serve God. I remember clearly, like it happened yesterday, that whenever one of the people that now go here, Karen Bloomer, she invited me to a church in Michigan City because I moved into the area and I didn't know a good church. And she invited me to one, and I went and really liked it. And so I met with the pastor, just happened to be Pastor Rick Jones. And I met with him at McDonald's, of course. And that way I could get, you know, he came in. So we sat and talked. But you know what? I didn't ask him about that church as far as what did it stand for? What did it believe in? How it was structured? I didn't ask any of those questions. I only asked him one question. I said, Rick, can I serve? And I really meant that because I wanted to be able to continue to serve God wherever I was at. And so I asked him if I could do that. Well, long story short, I ended up getting involved serving there and eventually came back to the area and served as an elder and then eventually went into the full-time ministry there. And so God blessed me with that. But I just want to share that with you because it is important for all of us. I know where you're at. I know that life is hard. I know that we're busy. But you know what? It's our responsibility. You know, I was going to talk about spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to get to that really this morning, but we all have one. If you're a Christ follower, God's given you a spiritual gift, and he's told you to use it for him. And that's something that we all have to take to heart. And it's a privilege doing what I do. I told my wife this not too long ago. She's not sitting there anymore, so she's out there. But I told her that, and then a couple weeks ago, I told it to Jeff. I had finished up with doing a funeral and two counseling appointments that were tough. And I went into Jeff's office and I said, you know what? As hard as today was, I love doing what I'm doing. And I am totally blessed and the luckiest guy in the world to do this. And the reason is, I know you're thinking, the reason is because, yeah, you only work one day a week. Well, just so you know, I'm here on Tuesday nights as well. But no, seriously, folks. And the reason I feel that way is because as a pastor, I am able to be with you, the flock, in the most important times of your life. Not when you're at a baseball game or at a picnic or maybe in some social setting. I get to do that too. But you know what? I'm with people at times of births of new babies, of weddings, of funerals, of helping them through their grief, of being able to be with them when they're in the hospital, like I'm with Bill and Jack, being able to go and encourage people who are just lonely and need somebody to sit and talk to. But I'm with people in their most important times in their life. And I remember that, and I count that as a blessing to be able to do that. But you don't have to be a pastor to be part of that. Pastors are only to equip you guys to do that as well. So when you go to the hospital or when you go and sit with somebody who is lonely, that's something that you can do. Most people can stand and smile and tell someone thanks for coming and greet them. Somebody who are gifted in the area of teaching should be teaching. If you're gifted in the area of serving, you should be serving as a helpmate to a teacher. We shouldn't have to be asking for help all the time. You know, and I knew that going into this message that some of you are going to say, yeah, preach it. And others of you are going to feel like, you know, maybe I don't like this. This is a little uncomfortable. And so I just ask for grace this morning because I'm just sharing my heart. But we struggle sometimes as pastors. And we say, I don't understand. I don't understand how we can be Christ's followers with the definition that I used earlier and come to church and then exit right out the door and nothing happens until next Sunday morning. I'm sorry, but I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. I love you too much for that. But I don't understand that as a pastor. Because you know what? We are blessed to be able to do something for God. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be anything. Every one of us should be finding where we're gifted and using that gift for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have a waiting list of people who want to teach our kids. We should have a waiting list of people who want to greet or be an usher or work in any other ministry. It shouldn't be a chore finding folks. Because if every one of us understand that as a Christ follower, we are given a gift and we are expected to use it, then we would find out what that is and we would say, you know what? I want to serve. I only have an hour a month. That's okay. If that's all you have, we'll take your hour and we'll help you find something that fits into your area and let you serve the Lord. Because we want everyone. We don't want the old percentage that 20% of the people do all the work in the church. You know, you can see we have a lot of people serving, but really in reality, if you're here this morning as a Christ follower, we should all be doing something, whatever that may be, whatever God's gifted you to do. And you know, I share that with you this morning, and I know this is the same feeling that Pastor Jeff has, the same feeling, because we talk about how we can encourage our folks to serve and to really have that heart change. So if you're here this morning, and you've met Jesus, and you've experienced him, and he's talked with you, and he's dealt with your heart, and he's changed it from being a perfect person who may have been selfish and self-centered, and now he's calling you to be a person who's selfless and willing to serve and willing to do things for the Lord. It's not meant to be a guilt trip, but this is what I want to leave you with. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew, it tells us that they make a statement that in the end of a parable where he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear. When I stand before Jesus Christ in heaven, I want to look at him, and I want him to say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, Joshua said, it's in that passage there, that for him and his house, everyone will serve the Lord. So we are given this opportunity to do that. And the worst thing that I can do is not tell you this. I don't want any of you standing before the Lord and saying, well, I didn't know I should do that. My pastor never told me. I can't live with that because I have to be accountable for what I tell you or don't tell you. And I want to make sure that you too are prepared for that day. Not only then, but you're going to have a great life now serving him. It's so rewarding when you do that. When you see the look on people's face, when they thank you for being there for them, Man, when they thank you for working with their kids, the look on their face, that's a reward right now. But also, when you stand before God, I want you to be able to say that you did everything you could for the least of these. And I want God to be able to look at you and say, you fought the good fight. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning because I feel like everybody needs to hear that message. It's not for me. I didn't write it. God did. So if you want to send hate mail, send it to God. Not to me. Because I'm just trying to help you to be prepared for that day. And you know what, folks? We don't know when that day is. None of us. That's not a scare tactic. That's just the truth. It could be over today for any of us. So serve God. Serve others out of the love that comes about because of a changed heart. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you so much for being part of our life. I thank you so much, Lord, for just giving us the gift that you've given to us and the ability that we have to serve you, Father. So I thank you for that. And I just ask you now, Lord, that as we close this service and we listen to this music video, that each one of us will take out that insert that's in our bulletin and that we will pray about how you want us to be used. Just look at this list of spiritual gifts. If there's one that we find in there that we feel we're gifted at, just put a check mark by it. Let us know who it was so that we can get back with you later and talk to you and pray with you about how you can get involved. And Lord, I just pray that every person in this room will do that this morning and complete that and drop it off on their way out. But I just pray right now that, Lord, as we listen to this music, we will let it sink in.